This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 181 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And with me via his iPhone, via Skype, from his bedroom in Melbourne, Mr. Lee Andrikopoulos. How are you, Lee?
G'day, Bruce. How are you, guys? All well.
Excellent, excellent. So what have you been up to this week?
Oh, another week running around talking to a bucket load of photographers and hearing new ideas and new directions of what people are thinking, what they're planning on doing. And I guess part of the fun of it is just meeting all these new photographers that are coming into the industry and kind of saying, well, what's the plan? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
And many folks, yeah, they will turn around to me and say, well, you know, how do I improve my business? And I really go back to the basics of saying, what is it that you're looking for? What are you trying to achieve? And I guess likewise, you know, I could probably do the same thing with you, Bruce. You know, you're building up a portraiture photography wedding business.
Yep.
What is it that you're doing? What do you seek in the areas of your business world at the moment? How's it going for you?
Well, look, you know what, I have said this to Shelton in the past. I am very envious of his position in the industry where, you know, he's been in it long enough and has built up such a collection of contacts within the industry because of the virtue of the fact that he's been in it for a quarter of a century, where he can pretty much pick up work in any avenue of photography, you know, that pretty much suits him. You know, he gets offered wedding work, mm-hmm. he gets offered commercial work, he gets offered corporate portraiture, he gets offered, you know, personal portraiture. And I, you know, I find that incredibly interesting, you know, but I also understand at the same time that it's not particularly smart to go out as a newcomer and try to advertise yourself as a, you know, jack of all trades,
everything.
You know, because then,
exactly.
you know, the assumption is that you're the master of none, you know.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I guess where I have to start is, you know, with wedding work and portrait work, and keep on, you know, doing the tourism work that I'm currently being paid to do here and there, you know. So it's a case of putting fingers out into as many pies as I can, but I guess wedding work is going to be the main focus.
Sure. Look, it's really interesting what you are saying, you know, doing a bit of everything, jack of all trades. And the point is that when you start being a jack of all trades, you'll get nothing really done correctly.
Yeah.
There are many vehicles, very, very, very many versions. The models may vary so much. Take your wedding and portraiture. They're completely two different models. In one model, you're allowing for up to 40 hours per customer, or the amount of time you're going to spend with the photography, with the images, retouching, post-production, pre-production, the amount of work involved in total, well, it comes to about 40 hours. And then you're going to be looking for an average sale of, say, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for a wedding, for argument, in some cases even more.
Right.
And then when you compare that model to a portraiture model, where on average you're basically going to photograph or spend customer time up to about, say, 5 hours, and you may be looking at an average sale sitting at about $1,000, you start to see where you can use your time more effectively or more pricey, in a sense, and get the best result out of it.
So you're saying that, in your opinion, portraiture can actually be more financially viable than wedding work?
It can be, very much so, but it also goes back to what people enjoy doing. You know, what kind of photography are you involved in?
Sure.
But definitely, when you look at those two models, one may argue that the portraiture model can be a simpler model and more profitable in the hours that you put into it. Having said that, with weddings as well, I mean, you may work on a vehicle that is based on volume, and then you might have a challenging product and service out there that's providing a really good price, and you keep your price down low and you just work your volume and work with other photographers with you as well. Or you might go down the track of having high quality product and high quality pricing, charging, you know, $15,000 for a wedding. You know, obviously, to build up to that credibility does take time. So, you know, you do find that you're going to start at a lower mark and have to build up to it. Whereas when you look at the portraiture model, interestingly enough, you will invest a smaller amount of time and you can do a lot more numbers, in a sense, depending on how much emphasis you put into it. However, any which way we go, whether we look at a wedding model or a portraiture model, for argument's sake, or a commercial model, for argument's sake, you're always going to have to consider your customers. And at the end of the day, the more that we can actually provide information to that customer at every stage, obviously the more valuable our work becomes.
When you say providing information to your customers, what sort of information are you referring to?
It's a constant supply of information. When a client first calls up, for argument's sake, how often they will inquire about how much our work is, or how much our 10x8s are, for argument's sake, or how much for an album. They're attaching themselves to a particular price because they know not what else to ask. They're coming into it not too sure what they're looking for. Now, if we spend the time and get involved with educating the client in terms of what they're looking for, what our services are all about, how we can prepare them at that booking stage, how we can then prepare them for the shoot in a sense, and then also prepare them for their viewing. The better we inform that client and the better we give them the information they're going to need at every stage, the better the result will be. For argument's sake, if someone's contemplating booking with you, will they or won't they book you? Well, is it going to be a price decision, or is it going to be a decision based on a photographer that can tell their story? In a sense, yep. The value lies in the story. So, you know, the client may initially call up about price, but our information that we'll provide them will guide them to appreciating that the value is in the story. And likewise, when a client's going to be photographed before a shoot, you're going to call them not to confirm that they're coming to the shoot, you're calling to make sure that they're best prepared for that particular shoot. And again, there is more information on how to prepare. What time of the day we're shooting it? The kid's going to be relaxed. Kid's going to be cheeky. Have got a variety of outfits. There's a constant preparation, and the more we spend the time with the client preparing them and involving them and educating them about what is involved to achieve that shoot at the end of the day, you are building up quality and credibility in terms of your professionalism.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's an ongoing thing. I don't think it ever stops. Even when you get to the images and you've shot the images and you've reduced the images to the ones that are absolutely brilliant, you're going to show your clients, even then, it's not a matter of just showing images, but it's about educating the client on how to appreciate that image. So there's even more education that follows through. It's then about the presentation of when we brought it down to the images that are absolutely brilliant, then we can consider the various presentations. And again, more education on the various finishes that we have in our product, whether they may be frames or acrylics or art mounts or albums with leather covers or wooden covers or metallic covers or acid-free matting. It's a constant supply of information that is personalized to the client's wants, in a sense.
Now, I want to just jump back a little bit to where you were talking about presenting the images to the client. Found from a recent shoot that I did for one of my tourism clients, you know, what I did was I went through all of the images that I had shot over the course of the shoot, because the shoot lasted for a week. And what I did was I rated every image either a 1-star, a 2-star, a 3-star, or a 4-star, where the 4-star images were the images that I thought were absolute corkers. The 3s tended to be of equal quality, but were, you know, the not quite the hero shots from each particular environment in which I had shot a sequence of shots. Then the 2s were not quite so great, and the 1s were the ones that I just didn't feel were even worth looking at. And I presented all of the images to the client, and I explained this to her before I gave her the disc. I said, look, this is what I've done, and this is how I've rated them, and this is my thinking behind my rating system. And what really surprised me, you know, obviously showing my newbieism as a professional photographer, was that there were images that I'd considered 1-star and 2-star that the client absolutely loved. So my question to you is, when it comes to portrait work or wedding work, would you advise a photographer to still show the client everything, or only show them what we feel are the great shots?
Look, that is a very good question, and I will say it depends on the model that you're working with. For example, if we were looking at a portraiture shoot where you are sitting with a client and your intention is to show them a variety of images, select the ones that are absolutely brilliant, ensure that they get why they're absolutely brilliant, then look at the presentation range, personalize the presentation range, negotiate on a price, reduce it to a price range that's happy with, and then finally conclude on a sale, all to be achieved, with, say, within an hour and a half at most, before your client loses any sense of ability to purchase, because they're just getting too tired.
Right.
In that circumstance, you need to be careful how many images you are showing. So you need to contain it.
Yep.
To know more than, you know, 50, 60, 70 images, because then it becomes harder to control in a sense. And you're risking going over time and exhausting your client's brain before they're not in a position to make a decision, in which case they'll have to make another viewing appointment to purchase. so it can backfire. Likewise, though, if you're providing, as you had in this case, provided a variety of images, and you grouped them in your categories, what was interesting is, was what you thought. Was it what you liked, or was it what you thought the client would like? And there's a big distinction there.
Yeah.
Many times we personalize what we think of the image without acknowledging it's not for us, it's for somebody else to decide.
Yeah, right.
Obviously, when you're showing too many images, you can get quite repetitive. I think the idea is, if there is a variation in the story or in the message, even if it be just a little lip line or that dimple that's so much stronger and defined, you're going to get a stronger message. So, and not only you get a stronger message, but it'll vary from the other one, which had the eyebrow raised a little bit and therefore had more of an inspiring feel in one image and a more cheeky expression in the other. The composition, background, and lighting was all the same, but that minor focal point created a whole different story. Now, that story to a commercial client may be exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And many a time, you may not see that. So be aware that every image that tells a different story may be what they're looking for. So keep that variety there. And with commercial environments as well, you've got that ability to show them just that extra amount of images that, as opposed to one and a half hour portraiture sale,
yeah,
where you are contained.
Yeah, I suppose a client like a tourism client is probably used to looking at large quantities of images on a regular basis, where a portraiture client is probably not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even the same applies with the wedding market as well, where you will see photographers shooting, say, 1,500 images, and then I know that really shouldn't be what we're aiming for, but it never seems to surprise me. But they'll shoot, they'll then dwindle it down to, say, 500 to 300 images. Many a times they'll even give those images as proofs to their clients. The client, to a certain extent, can be overwhelmed by all these images. Yes, they'll appreciate them, but they do tend to lose their impact. When there's so many, whereas where you'll see wedding portraiture studios that, or a wedding studio that has taken the time to then put an album together, it may be that it consists of 80 pages or 80 signs, but they've reduced the amount of images to contain themselves within a number of album pages, and therefore controlling the amount of headspace that's put out there in terms of how long it's going to take to go through all those images. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
So understanding how you're presenting a variety of images has got a lot to do with what the client will appreciate. And at the end of the day, what you're always wanting to do is make sure that when a client looks at an image, they're not just overviewing that image, but they're identifying the primary focal points in that image and can appreciate the emotional impact of those focal points, which is what we had to do in the first place, yes? When we actually took that picture, subconsciously, your brain took into account the background. Subconsciously, your brain took into account the lighting, the composition, the props, everything with it that you needed to get in that shot. You took into consideration, then subconsciously, your little finger went click, and you took that, and you pressed that shutter button.
Yeah.
That same process now needs to be dissected and given back to that client so they can appreciate the emotional impact of each aspect of the focal points or tools in that image. And now, obviously with a wedding, you may contain that to, say, 80 pages, 80 sides in an album, where you've got four or five images per page, and therefore you can outline the story and the focal points in each image as per page, in a sense, and control the length of that story. With a portraiture sale, you will do that by having, say, 50 to 70, 80 images max, that you are going to go through each image one at a time, and again, contain it within a time frame. With a commercial environment, you've got more flexibility. Again, agencies or you know, the travel industry, they're used to seeing images and will scan very quickly for what they're looking for, and they can find it a lot quicker than what we actually think on many occasions.
Yeah. So, you were then going on to talk about, different styles of presentation, like different, paper print choices and covers.
Exactly.
And things.
Yeah. Look, as we're talking through and understanding the content education we're providing our clients, the first stage would be obviously educating them on the image that they're looking for. And if I can add just a bit more on educating them on the image, many a times that first image will come up. And we're sitting next to the client, and the client, actually, we are so keen to hear the client's response, and we'll ask them, what do you think of this image? First point here, guys, we don't actually think in our industry, we feel in our industry. So if you're going to show an image to a client, your question should be, how does that image feel? And then back off.
Right.
If they're looking at images of themselves, especially if they're looking at images of themselves, allow people the privilege to actually deal with themselves as well, yeah?
Yeah.
It can be quite intimidating looking at yourself. So once people have gone through that process of even looking at themselves, get it, 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds just to deal with looking at themselves. Then you're in a position to confront them with how does that feel as an image. And you can elaborate on the features of that image and start to explore the story within each image.
Okay, I've got a question for you right there.
Yeah.
Let's suppose you've got a client who doesn't have a great self-image.
Right.
And you've taken, let's say you've done a portrait session with them, and you've done you've done your job as a photographer. You've taken great photographs of that person. Obviously, allowing for the fact that they are not professional models, you've had them pose as comfortably as you could get them to pose, and you've got them looking as relaxed as you could.
Yep.
And in your opinion, you've done your job as a photographer. What do you do if they look at their photos and they then start picking apart their own appearance?
Exactly.
Do you have, an emotional toolkit that you dive into that helps you combat that negativity that some people just naturally have towards looking at images of themselves?
Most definitely. Look, the first thing to note here is when a client starts reacting in a manner where they're not appreciating the image, and in fact, we know it's not the image they have got an issue with, it's themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's exactly my point.
So because it is themselves, the first thing photographer needs to be aware of is not to take it personally.
Yeah.
Second thing photographer needs to do is identify the good parts in that image. What the client is doing is looking at that image and they're not seeing their piercing eyes. They're not seeing their inviting smile. They're not seeing that playful dimple. What they're seeing could be right at the bottom part of that image where there is a clunky arm or there's a bit more too much arm in the other image, or the neckline's not clearly defined, or they've identified a negative about them that they just don't like.
Yeah.
And I guess really what you've got to do is identify the positives in an image. If they're not liking that image because, for argument's sake, let's just say that the hair's not right. And you look at that image, you think the hair looks lovely. I don't know what she's talking about. But from her perspective, it's the hair that she's not used to seeing herself in.
Right.
It's not that there's anything wrong with the hair, it's just she's not used to seeing herself like that, for argument's sake.
Yeah.
And in that case, she can only see the hair. That's all she can see. Your job is to actually say, look, I do understand what you're talking about the hair. However, I do need you to also be aware that those eyes have that piercing nature about it. That smile has got that genuine inviting smile, and those playful dimples, and how those relaxed hands give it a gentle feel. and identify all those focal points, those positive focal points that add value to that emotional story.
Yeah, right.
And that's really what you're doing. There's always going to be something that the client can look at and just kind of go, oh, no, oh, not too sure. And it's you training them how to look at the image. In fact, what you could even do, here's a bit of a good advice, how to deal with the objection before it even becomes an objection. So before you even view the images with the client, it may even be worth saying to them, look, what we're going to do now is going to get an overall feel of the images. However, what I know you're going to do is you're going to look at the images and you're not going to look at the image, you're going to look at yourself. So that's okay. That's why I'm here to help you through that process. And as we go through, I will help you identify where the value lies in those images. So when she does go through that image, you go, oh, no, I don't like that. And you ask her, what are you actually looking for? And you identify that it's not anything to do with the smile and the eyes, and rather it's some minor point that is just irritating or she's not used to. It's that reminder, which is what I was saying earlier on. Look at the overall image, not at yourself. Take a step back, look at it objectively.
Yeah.
And when you do so, you will start valuing where the value is in that image. And again, people will see it in different ways.
Yeah. Very interesting. Human nature is a funny thing, isn't it?
It is. And quite interestingly, I mean, I remember one of the most exciting. I remember a shoot that I was in London, actually. And I had this one couple that I must admit was genuinely aesthetically challenged. It wasn't just a lady. It wasn't just a man. Both of them were genuinely aesthetically challenged. And obviously never had any good shots, in a sense.
Yeah.
So they came to the studio, they got photographed, and then all the other sales staff got to look at these images, and everyone was horrified and did not want to view these images with any of these clients. Everyone was just running away.
Right.
And nobody wanted to touch it. So I actually ended up taking that client in, and we went through the images. Now, the interesting thing is, they bought more than they could ever have imagined. And the reason they bought more than they ever could have imagined is because they'd never seen themselves looking that good.
Yeah, right.
To us, it was appalling photography because the smile really didn't look like a smile. But to them, it was the best smile that they had. And yeah, it's the best way they'd ever seen their smile. So be aware of, you know, how people will perceive it. And for those people, it was brilliant. And then you might have the other scenario where you've got absolutely gorgeous people and they're never satisfied. They're always trying to take it to the next level, and you're showing them amazing work and they just don't get it. And there's something wrong with them, and there's always something. The nose is not right, the hair's not right, the eye's not right. And they're always looking for something. In both scenarios, I come back to the basics. There are valuable points and focal points in those images. It is our job to make sure we bring those to light, and doing so, we are educating and educating that client emotionally as well.
So another question for you then.
Yeah.
So let's say you've got that particular client, the one that is particularly problematic in the sense that, you know, they might be, you know, beautiful looking people, but they have such a high standard that they expect of themselves and of their photographer. Let's say you've done the portrait shoot. You've taken, you know, a whole bunch of what you consider to be absolutely brilliant images, and they're not happy with any of it because they don't feel that any of it meets their standard. What do you do? Do you offer to reshoot it? Do you wipe your hands and walk away? What's your next step after that?
Well, okay. Before I answer that question, I would ask, have we genuinely found out what that client wanted?
Right.
Or did we just shoot a formula?
Right.
If we genuinely did identify what the client wanted and the client still turns around and says, but that's not what I'm looking for, what have we done wrong?
Yep.
What have we done wrong? Because at the end of the day, we are commissioned to tell a story.
Yep.
And it's our job to be able to tell that story. So, you know, you've got to put it that at the end of the day, you've got to ask the right questions. And look, there are times that you're not going to get that mark and you will miss the mark. But I would say the more time we can spend identifying what that client wants, the higher the probability of giving them what they want.
Yeah. So it really does come back to making sure you've asked all the right questions before you put your camera out of the bag.
Yeah. Exactly. It's where it all begins. And look, I talk to many a group, and when I do, one of the first questions I do ask is, what do customers want? What is the customers want? What are all these people out there who want to be part of it? What do they actually want? And it's not a 10x8 want, or a wall portrait want, or an album want. It's actually an emotional want. The way they'd like the world to see them. It's the way we purchase, and everything we will buy is we purchase things we do because of the way we would like the world to view us. Whether it be to go for that elegance and confidence, or to go with that casualness, or to go with that sexiness. We have constant statements that we need to make. And the photographer's job is to identify those. And the more we actually search, the more you find. You know, no one's just casual. There's more to us than just casual. I used to always say, if you look into someone's cupboard, you're going to find more than just casual clothing. You're going to find some formal clothing. You might even find some more elegant and stylish clothing. You might even find something a little more sexy, a little more playful. But there's variety in our personalities. So, you know, be aware of the questions you're asking to identify who these clients are before you then take up these fantastic tools that we have in achieving these brilliant stories in our images.
Interesting.
And that's just talking about the image. You know, taking it a step further and working on the principle that we do find out what they want, and we do show them these images that have identified those wants, and then eventually we will sit and select the ones that are absolutely brilliant, and then based on the ones that are absolutely brilliant, we will consider presentations and look at the albums and wall portraits. But only when we feel that we have got images that are absolutely brilliant. There's no point in looking at presentations with half-wittedly, yeah, these are okay, yeah, they're all right. You know, bear in mind, and there is a sieving process that you'll, you know, it's a constant journey. Identify what the client wants from the beginning. Then you'll talk to them about how you're going to achieve that want with your facilities. Then you're going to actually achieve it. Whilst you are achieving it, you're talking to them about the various backdrops and positions and lightings and props that will help tell their story in their images. Then you've got the viewing of the images and bringing those images eventually down to the ones that are absolutely brilliant. Why? Because it is only then, when they've been through this whole journey and they've been through these images that they've sorted it down to that they love, now they're ready to consider presentations. It's like thinking of having this beautiful book. You know, if the story is fantastic, then I am more than happy to glorify it and put it into leather covers and gilt edge frames and really give it its value if the story is fantastic. So, you know, beware all the time where the value is, and it's in the story, and it's not worth getting up caught up in the wall portrait of the album at the initial stage until you actually have captured that image and the client gets why that image is brilliant. When you've got that intangible state of being, and that is the story in that image, now you're ready to really create something amazing for your clients as well.
Yeah.
And you know, right at the beginning we were talking about education and information. So this constant supply of information needs to then follow through on the presentation range. You know, the presentation range will vary based on the various finishes. Are we educating those clients on those variations? And how they will complement their particular lifestyle? I used to always refer to the three categories of your life, of your home style, which will be either, you know, your lounge room is either going to be a modern lounge room, it's either going to be a casual lounge room, or it's going to be a classical lounge room. Mm-hmm. In one of those three categories, you will be. And therefore, I will break down my canvases or my acrylics or my art mounts or my frames into those three categories. You know, for example, I might refer to a canvas as a rustic casual feel to it, or a gilt-edged frame that will be more classical, or a very simplistic box, black frame, white frame, box frame, which is going to give it a more modern, contemporary finish. So constantly referring to the finished products in terms of the lifestyle of the client that they're going to, the house they're going to live in their lifestyle. Constant supply of education, guys. That's the key to it. and keeping that client feeling that they're getting more and more information every step of the way.
Fantastic, Lee. Thank you.
All right. So, yes, there's lots to talk about on that front. I will be very keen to talk, Bruce, about the fine art of negotiation in our next shows as well.
Sure.
And looking at how that process can be broken down.
Well, actually, you know what I'd like to get to in the next episode, before we even get to negotiation, is actually sourcing and finding your clients. We probably should have started with that.
Well, we've got quite a few episodes to get to, so I'm sure we've got lots of time to move around. But very good point. Starting from the customer, right from the beginning, getting that bum on that seat, getting that first customer coming in. So I think, look, getting the customers in, I think, is definitely a discussion.
Let's not go there now, but, you know, kick it around in your head for the week, and then maybe next week we can talk about that.
I think that is going to be a very good place to start, mate. Yeah, let's get into that right from the beginning, that customer, where we're going to find him. And give us a good starting point. Fantastic.
Yeah. Now, I noticed through the week on Facebook, somebody posted up, and I noticed, Lee, that somebody else posted it, and you noticed this as well. Mm. And that was the terms of service for Google Plus, which is, of course, yes, Google's new social network. And if you haven't seen or read this as yet, I'm just going to read this three-paragraph excerpt from the Google Plus Terms of Service, because I think as photographers, we should be aware of it. Now, I mean, you know, Facebook has probably got something very similar, but when you read it word for word, it does sound a little bit ominous. So this is what the Terms of Service say for Google Plus. By submitting, posting, or displaying the content being your images, you give Google a perpetual, irrevocable, worldwide, royalty-free, and non-exclusive license to reproduce, adapt, modify, translate, publish, publicly perform, publicly display, and distribute any content which you submit, post, or display on or through the services. You agree that this license includes a right for Google to make such content available to other companies, organizations, or individuals with whom Google has relationships for the provision of syndicated services, and to use such content in connection with the provision of those services. You understand that Google, in performing the required technical steps to provide the services to our users, may A, transmit or distribute your content over various public networks and in various media, and B, make such changes to your content as are necessary to conform and adapt the content to the technical requirements of connecting networks, devices, services, or media. You agree that this license shall permit Google to take these actions. Now, obviously, that last bit talks about, you know, I think they're just talking about, you know, resizing for different displays and whatever, but that first paragraph, that's kind of scary. You
know? Well,
perpetual, it's very irrevocable, yeah, worldwide, royalty-free, non-exclusive license.
Yep. Very simple message there, Bruce. Yep. Be careful what you're going to put on Google.
Yeah.
Be careful what you're going to put online.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as I said at the beginning, Facebook's terms of services are probably not that different from the wording of that, but it's just a timely reminder that, you know, just be aware of what you're putting up, and certainly I would suggest that anyone who ever wants to earn a dollar from their photography, watermark the images before you put them on a social network, so at least there is some record of who owns it and where it came from.
Exactly, trying to maintain some credibility there with it.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, have you had a look at Google Plus yet, Lee? Has anyone given you an invite?
I have opened up a Google Plus account there, and I've got my image up there already. I'm still trying to work my way around it. I'm not too sure how it's actually going to fill in all the gaps, but I'm sure it will very soon.
Have you uploaded a handful of images to create an album yet?
No, I haven't. I think I've got one or two images up already.
Right. I've got to say, I absolutely love the way it displays your albums. I really think it's quite nice.
Brilliant. Okay, anyway, definitely give it a go.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm sure everyone will get their invites in the coming weeks, and it'll be interesting to see how Google Plus goes. I mean, you know, they've certainly got a you know, a long way to go to run Facebook out of town.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. The latest I heard was that Facebook is somewhere up around the 750 million users now, which is like one in eight people on the planet. That's a hell of a head start.
Well, truly. And you know, more and more we've got to be aware of, from a marketing perspective, that the social media vehicle is becoming very fast at the communication vehicle.
Definitely.
A lot of it back from there.
Definitely. Now, there was just one thing that I wanted to cover before I signed off on this episode, and that was for those who were listening a couple of episodes back when I was interviewing Philip Andrews and talking about some of the fantastic things that his company's doing with regards to Photoshop actions as iPad apps. Phil got back in touch with me and he said, hey, listen, here's some promo codes for three of the different app thingamajiggies that you can buy for your iPad, produced by his company. So I have six of these things to give away. If you have an interest in those, drop me an email to theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com and I will basically accept the first six people who send me an email saying, yes, I would love one, thank you, and then I'll tell you what they are and I'll send you a code. Also, if you want to fire any questions at Lee, please send emails to theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com. And I will set Lee up to also receive those emails so that if you have questions you want to fire at him, you know, get them through to us and we can address those on future shows.
Absolutely, definitely.
We're all for some interaction with our listeners. Mm. Excellent. Okay, well, I think that just about does it, Lee.
Very much done. Yes, Bruce, thank you very much for another great recording with you, sir.
No worries, mate. You have a good week.
And the same to you. Take care and look forward to talking.
No worries, mate. Catch you next week.
Take care. Bye.
Shutters Inc. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.